Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Just down the road from the University of Notre Dame, we're at Four Winds Field in South Bend, Indiana, where the Quad Cities River Bandits begin their first leg of a two-week road trip that takes them through Indy and southern Wisconsin in Beloit come a week from now. But tonight, it's the Bandits matching up for the second time this season against the High A affiliate of the Chicago Cubs, the South Bend Cubs, here at one of the best ballparks in the Midwest League. Good Tuesday evening, everybody. As always, Kyle Kirchville with you on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Wherever you're tuned in from tonight, so glad to have you along with us for what's Game 16 of the River Bandits 2024 season and their series opener against these South Bend Cubs, a team Quad Cities saw at the beginning of this month. During opening weekend at Modern Woodman Park, the Cubs won the opening day matchup, but then Quad Cities rattled off back-to-back wins on Saturday and Sunday to secure their first series win of the year, 2 out of 3 against the Chicago High A affiliate. Coming into this week, the Bandits remain one of the hottest teams in not only the Midwest League, but in all of minor league baseball. Quad Cities has won 9 of their last 10 ball games, and they enter with a Midwest League best 11-4 record, the opposite of what the South Bend Cubs come in with. They're at 4-11. That's the lowest win total to start the season in the Midwest League. But, of course, we're still in April. We're not doing too much standings watching just yet. Let's take a look at the River Bandits' last game. Of course, this would have been last Sunday, their series finale against the Peoria Chiefs. Quad Cities was going for its 10th straight victory and its first 6-game series sweep of the year. However, Peoria ended up getting the win and snapping the Bandits' win streak at 9. The Bandits were the first on the board in the game. They got a sac fly from Brett Squires in the bottom of the first to take a 1-0 lead. And then in the third, just when it looked like Shane Panzini, the River Bandits starter, was going to work a third straight scoreless inning to start the day, a bloop single that landed in between Davies Nadal and Dustin Dickerson on the left side of the infield, prolonged the inning for Zach Levenson with a runner on and two outs. He hit a two-run homer to give Peoria what was its first lead of the series since the series opener last Tuesday. Chiefs up 2-1 going into the fourth. Quad Cities didn't wait long to tie it at two with Omar Hernandez at first base. Jared Dickey rifled his first RBI triple of the season off the outfield wall and knotted the score at two. Both bullpens would keep things quiet in the fifth and sixth innings, but then in the seventh, Peoria struck for its second two-run homer of the game, this time a shot from Brody Moore, his first of the season off Bandits lefty Cooper McKeon, which gave the Chiefs their 4-2 lead, an advantage they would never give up. Over the next couple of innings, Quad Cities would produce just two base runners, and Joseph King would complete a six-out save for the Chiefs to give the Chiefs their fifth win, make that their sixth win of the year, and, of course, Quad City's fourth loss. Shane Panzini, despite giving up the two-run homer, pitched pretty well in his second start of the year. He gives up just the two runs in four innings with five strikeouts. And then after him, five River Bandits relievers would toe the rubber. And Cooper McKeon, unfortunately the only Bandit to be on the hook for runs in relief. He gave up that two-run shot to Brody Moore. Otherwise, Quad City's got scoreless innings from Chase Wallace, Chaz Martinez, Ben Sears, and Brandon Johnson. All things considered, not a bad day on the mound for Quad Cities. The pitching continues to be some of the best in all of High A to open up 2024. Let's go ahead and jump ahead to today's starting lineups and the starting pitching matchup as we begin this six-game series here in South Bend. Here's the lineup for the 4-11 Cubs, as put together by manager Nick Lovello. Leading off at center fielder Brett Bateman, Rafael Morel hits second and plays right, Jefferson Rojas bats third and plays short. Yohendrick Peñago bats cleanup and is in left field, Felix Stevens bats fifth and is the DH, batting sixth the third baseman Pedro Ramirez. Jonathan Long's over at first batting seventh, Casey Opitz is the catcher batting eighth, and batting ninth the second baseman Ed Howard. The 24-year-old right-hander Nick Hull gets the start for the South Bend Cubs. It's the third appearance and third start of the year for him. Hull, a 6.75 ERA in just eight innings to open the year. Now the lineup for the River Bandits, as put together by manager Brooks Conrad. Leading off, the center fielder Carson Rockefort. Batting second, the catcher Carter Jensen. And batting third, the first baseman Brett Squires. Cale Emshoff is in the cleanup spot. He'll serve as the DH. Jared Dickey bats fifth and plays right field, and batting sixth, the second baseman, Jack Pineda. Dustin Dickerson is across the way at short, batting seventh. Gene Ramirez bats eighth and plays left field, and batting ninth, the third baseman, Davies Nadal. Trevor Warner still nursing a bit of a bad wrist, but he should be back in the lineup sooner than later for Quad Cities. The Bandit starter, the former fourth-round pick out of Vanderbilt last year by the Kansas City Royals, Hunter Owen. He enters 2-0 with a 2.25 ERA here in 2024. Time to take a quick break here on the River Bandits pregame show. When we come back, we've got first pitch in game one of this six-game series, Cubs and River Bandits baseball, next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Presented by Marathon. Singing the Star-Spangled Banner this evening is Molly McDonough.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars the ramparts we watched were so gallant.
got the right kid, too. This is Callen with the most famous words in baseball. 1, 2, 3, as long as you can. Told you. Let's go, Cubs.
River Bandits baseball is back on the air tonight for the first time this season at Four Winds Field in South Bend, Indiana, as Quad Cities begins a six-game road series against the South Bend Cubs, the first leg of two away from Modern Woodman Park. Next week, Quad Cities on the road in Beloit. But first, a matchup with the Chicago Cubs High A affiliate. The Bandits meet up with them on the road for the first time this year, but for the second time in 2024 after opening their schedule at Modern Woodman Park on the first weekend of April, of course, opening weekend in the Midwest League. South Bend out on the diamond, ready to get going. Their starting pitcher tonight, the right-hander Nick Hull, who is coming off of a tough outing last week against the Beloit Skycarp. Took his first loss of the year on April 16th, giving up 9 runs but 6 earned in just 3 innings of work. A far cry from his season debut against Wisconsin here at Four Winds Field. He twirled 5 shutout innings with 5 strikeouts. So he's looking to right the ship and get back to how he opened the year back on April 9th. And for Quad Cities, Carson Rockefort will look to open the game with some leadoff production atop the Bandits' order. He'll be followed by Carter Jensen and Brett Squires here in the top of the first inning. Hull ready to work. The right-hander's first pitch is a called strike on the outer edge, and we are underway a minute early tonight at 7:04 Eastern time at Four Winds Field. Rockefort, a left-handed bat. Here's the pitch from Hull. Fastball, check swing. He clearly went around, and it's nothing and two. Hull, 24 years old, a native of Edmonds, Washington. Stands out on the bump at an even 6 feet, 205 pounds, and is a former Antelope at Grand Canyon University. 0-2. Two-hopper. Make that a one-hopper over to second base. That's where Ed Howard's at tonight. He gloves and throws over to first, and Rockefort is retired 4-3 to start the inside. 3 balls and no strikes. The Bandits lead the league with their 36 stolen bases, but the 12th caught stealing of Jack Pineda also leads the league. So high risk, high reward. 3-0. Called strike on the inner half. 3-1 on Dickerson. 233 average for him in 10 games this season. Last year, Quad Cities was one of the most efficient base-stealing teams in the league, but they were middle of the pack in terms of total. 3-1. Fouled over the screen, out of play, and Hull has worked the count back full. 1-0 Cubs in the top of the second inning. Bandits have had a hit against Nick Hull in each frame thus far, but nothing to show for it. Dickerson's going to use a timeout here, step out of the box, and regroup ahead of the full count pitch. Hull looking for his second strikeout of the contest. Here's the 3-2. Breaking ball up and perhaps in. That's ball 4. And Dusty works a walk. Fourth free pass of the season worked by the former Golden Eagle. And the inning extends for Gene Ramirez, the Quad Cities left fielder tonight. Gene Manning left field for the 6th time this season. That ties Spencer Nivens for the most appearances in left to open the year. Nivens, of course, on the injured list at the moment. Hull's first pitch to Ramirez is low for ball 1. I mentioned in the opener how Quad Cities and South Bend are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of their record. Quad Cities 11-4, South Bend 4-11. Here's the 1-0. Outside 2-0. But in terms of their pitching and defense, they're also on opposite ends of things. Quad Cities has the best team ERA in the league at 2.41, and they've committed the league's fewest errors with 6. South Bend, on the other hand, has had a heck of a time on the mound to start the summer. 2-0 fastballs away, it's 3-0. South Bend's team ERA is 6.08. They've also committed a league-high 24 errors through 15 games. They had a five-error game last week. Here's the 3-0. Fastball at the knees, a called strike. But what's most interesting when you take those numbers into consideration, South Bend has scored six more runs than the River Bandits on the season, and yet Quad Cities has a mirror image of the Cubs' record. 3-1. Low and inside, ball four. Back-to-back two-out walks issued by Nick Hull, and that pushes Dickerson into scoring position. It just goes to show how much this game so often comes down to pitching and defense. Going into the series finale last Sunday against Peoria, Quad Cities had scored as many runs as South Bend. Both had scored 55. Yet one team's in first place, the other team's in last. So before Hull will face Davies Nadal, the catcher Casey Opitz makes a quick visit out to the bump, and then about halfway back to home plate after the conversation, he issues some defensive signs to the infield. The Bandits trail South Bend 1-0 in the top of the second, but they've got runners at first and second with two outs. Nine-hole hitter Davies Nadal squares to bunt, and he whiffs on the attempt. It's into the glove of Opitz for what is technically a swinging strike one. Eighth game of the year for Davies. As I mentioned in the pregame, he's starting at third for the third time this season. But he's mostly been in left field. A one. Called strike, outer edge. Hull with a grunt on the pitch, putting a little extra juice on it. And Davies falls behind. No balls, two strikes. Nadal 1-for-3 with a single last Sunday. 0-2. Fly ball, left field, pretty well struck. Pinyongo going back, still on the move. He reaches up and can't make the catch. Dickerson scores. Ramirez right behind him. Nadal on his way to third. He's in with a slide and without a throw. Two-run triple for Davies Nadal, and Quad Cities jumps in front 2-1. The Bandits with a little two-out offense of their own. And for Davies, that's his second two RBI triple of the season. He just got it behind Yohendrik Pinyongo, who crashed into the left field wall trying to snag it. And with Nadal's speed, that's an easy three bags. So now the lineup card flips over for Carson Rockefort. Man at third and two outs. First pitch to the center fielder is popped over the screen out of play. And it's strike one. That is a huge swing for the Bandits for a number of different reasons, but in my mind, the biggest reason, Quad Cities has been horrific, batting with two outs and runners in scoring position this season. 0-1 outside, one ball, one strike. Entering this ball game, the Bandits, as a team, were hitting just 0-88 with two outs and runners in scoring position and a 305 team OPS. But for Davies, he's going to lift that number single-handedly. 1-1 to Rocco. Called strike, changeup at the knees, and it's 1-2. Rockefort, a ground ball to second base as the first batter of the ball game. Second half of his series against Peoria, a really good one. 1-2. Slider missed away. Two balls, two strikes. On the year, Rockefort hitting .237 with two homers and nine driven in. That RBI mark, the second highest on the team behind Carter Jensen, who waits on deck. Hull pauses at the belt. He is 2-2. Swing and a miss. Got him with the elevated fastball, and that ends the inning. Quad Cities, though, gets an RBI triple of its own. This one courtesy of Davies Nadal. And it makes it 2-1 Bandits going to the bottom of the second. We'll be right back on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together. An inning and a half into tonight's series opener between Quad Cities and South Bend. Both teams have an RBI triple. The latest, a two-run three-bagger from Davis Nadal, which has given the Bandits a 2-1 lead. Switch-hitting third baseman Pedro Ramirez begins the bottom of the second at the plate for South Bend, and Hunter Owen starts in with a called strike on the outer edge of the zone. Ramirez, the number 16 prospect in the Cubs system, according to MLB Pipeline. 0-1 fastball above the belt and a bit outside perhaps. One ball, one strike. Owen picked up his first two outs of the game pretty quickly, but then gave up a single to Rojas and the RBI triple to Yohendrick Pinyango. 1-1. Bouncing ball, chopping its way up the middle. It gets past Dickerson and into center field. A seeing eye single for the Cubs third baseman. Both singles for South Bend. Nothing particularly extraordinary. Just baseballs that bounce their way up into center field. So a man at first and nobody out for the seven hitter, Jonathan Long. He is the Cubs' first baseman tonight, playing in his 13th game of the year. That's the third highest mark on the team in terms of games played, as he'll take outside for ball one. Long only hitting 182 this season, but he leads the team with four doubles. Owen out of the stretch. Runner goes. 1-0 pitch is outside. The throw to second base from Jensen is late. A head-first dive for Pedro Ramirez moves him into scoring position. That's Pedro's first stolen bag of the year. Now that is the ninth stolen base against Carter Jensen this year. Teams are 9 for 12 trying to pilfer bags against Jensen. The time called by Owen, or rather created by Owen. He steps off and now is right back on. 2-0 pitch to Long. Fouled off the hands into the screen, and it's 2-1. Taking a look at the replay up here in the booth, Ramirez got a terrific jump. He went basically on first movement from Owen and got into second base well ahead of Jensen's throw. Tying run at second base. Nobody out. 2-1. Back to the screen. The pitch was outside. Jensen chases it down behind the South Bend Cubs logo. And up to third on a wild pitch goes Ramirez. And I definitely think there was a cross-up of signs there because the pitch was outside. It wasn't that outside, but Jensen was not looking for it. He just tracked it all the way back to the screen with his eyes, with basically his gloves still frozen out in front of him. Jensen immediately goes out and exchanges a couple of words with Owen to get themselves back on the same page. Quad Cities has the corner infielders in with the runner at third and nobody out. Still a hitter's count for Long. Owen's 3-1 pitch is rifled foul over the first base side and out of play. Owen, the former Vanderbilt product, has a four-pitch arsenal, a mid-90s fastball, a curveball, a changeup, and a slider, which is probably his best pitch. Payoff. Broken bat liner snagged out of the air by Squires. Throw back to third. They double him off. Brett Squires with a fantastic reaching grab at first and then a throw across the diamond in time to retire Ramirez as well. Ninth double play of the season for Quad Cities. And this one will go in your scorebook 5-3. Owen shatters the bat of Long and is able to get a couple of outs from it. That's a massive twin killing for Quad Cities. Here's the catcher. Two outs, bases clear. Casey Opitz sends one out of play for strike one. Opitz, the 25-year-old catcher and eighth-round pick by Chicago back in 2021. Out of the wind, Owens 0-1. Fouled off Opitz in the box, and it's nothing at two. Owen had a strikeout of Felix Stevens to end the Cubs half of the first inning. A strikeout, or just any out of Opitz, would allow Owen to face the minimum in this frame despite giving up the leadoff single. He's ready to work. He winds the 0-2. Fastball just a bit high, maybe outside. A great two-strike pitch, but a better take for Opitz. It's the 10th game of the season for the switch hitter. He hits .235 with two homers and six driven in. Owen tries again, 0-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. This time he gets it by him, and that ends the inning. Couple of strikeouts for Hunter Owen through two scoreless, or rather two innings of one-run ball, but most importantly, he gets some help from the defense to post a zero in the second. On our way to the third here at Four Winds Field, Quad Cities up 2-1 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Hunter Owen puts up a scoreless bottom of the second. He gets a little bit of help from his friends, and Quad Cities keeps its 2-1 lead intact. Top of the third coming your way from Four Winds Field in South Bend. Carter Jensen leads it off against Nick Hull. Right-hander's first pitch is the slider, and it dips in for a strike on the lower outside corner. Jensen has one of two Quad Cities hits. Make that one of three with a one-out single in the first. 0-1, another breaking ball, and another called strike on the outer edge. Jensen, always a patient batter. He's got some of the best plate discipline in high A. Hull shakes off the first sign from Opitz. Now the 0-2. Fouled off Jensen's foot, right off his shin-guarded right leg. And the count holds. Carter with a single, a walk, and a stolen base in the series finale against Peoria last week. Another 0-2. Fastball just outside, 1-2. With that walk on Sunday, Jensen now has 184 in his career. That's the sixth most in all of minor league baseball since 2022. He pulls the 1-2 on the ground to first base. Long scoops it up, and he flips to Nick Hull, who covers the bag for the first out. So Hull keeps the leadoff man off base for the third straight frame. And that brings up Brett Squires. One out, base is clear. Squires started a crucial 3-5 double play in the last half inning to help remove Pedro Ramirez off the base paths. First pitch. Line drive shot back up the middle, a base hit. Rojas was already shaded up the middle, but Squires hit it so hard he had no shot. It's a one-out single for the Bandits first baseman.
Number 21, Cale
Squires
Henshaw.
With that big leg kick, generating some serious pop. And he gets aboard for the cleanup man, Cale Emshoff, the designated hitter. Last time we saw Cale here at Four Winds Field was September of last season. And you may remember, he popped off. First pitch. Here's a drive towards right field, slicing away from Morrell. He will make the catch, moving towards the chalk. And Emshoff is retired on just one pitch. There are two gone. Emshoff had a career day in his second to last game as a River Bandit last year before he was called up briefly to AAA Omaha. Went 4-for-4 with two homers and five RBIs. But 0-for-2 to start the game tonight. 2-1 Bandits in the top of the third. A throw to first base won't get Squires. Jared Dickey, the man at the plate for Quad Cities. The right fielder wears number 8 and bounced out to second his first time up an inning ago. Shortstop Rojas again playing up the middle. Squires a good base stealer. Hull delivers. Fastball misses outside. Squires has kind of been an example, if you will, of what Quad Cities has done on the base paths this year. He's got 5 steals in 15 games, but he's also been nabbed 3 times. That's tied with Carson Rockevert for the most on the squad. 1-0. Low and outside, 2-0. One of the reasons why Quad Cities is able to lead the league in stolen bases here early on is because they have so many guys in the lineup that steal and play positions that you normally would not correlate with speed and aggressive base running. 2-0. That's low on the changeup. 3 balls, no strikes. You look at a guy like Brett Squires, who plays first base. Usually those guys aren't great runners. You look at Trevor Werner, a third baseman for Quad Cities. He's 4-for-4. Stealing bags this year. And then, of course, you've got Carter Jensen and Omar Hernandez, the catchers. 3-0. There's a strike. 3-1. Jensen is 5-for-6 stealing bases this year, and Hernandez is a perfect 4-for-4 after leading all minor league catchers with 26 in single-A Columbia last season. The Bandits can run all throughout their card. 3-1. Dickey can't hold up. He fails to check his swing on a pitch. It was a bit low and inside. But it winds up being a swinging strike. Count goes full. And, of course, Brett Squires will get a head start at first base. Dickey, the former Tennessee Volunteer, waves the bat out in front of him one time and now hoists it behind his head. Hull is paused at the belt. The 3-2. Tap foul behind home. Dickey in front and on top of that off-speed pitch. A small crowd on hand tonight for this series opener. And you can't really blame them given the fact that it was raining for most of the day here in South Bend. They had the tarp on for a good chunk of the time the Bandits have been here at the ballpark. Hull resets. Another 3-2. There goes Squires. And the pitch misses up and away. Ball 4. Third walk of the game issued by the former seventh rounder. And once again, a free pass pushes a Bandit into scoring position. So Jared Dickey is on. Squires at second base. And Jack Pineda at the plate, who's singled back in the second inning. Bandits already up 2-1 in the top of the third inning. already 7 combined hits in the game. Quad Cities has 4 of them. Holt looks back at the lead runner, Squires. The pitch. Pineda late. He fouls it over the third base dugout. Jack had a relatively quiet series last week. He was 3 for 13 at the plate. But he did hit a home run for his first of the season. Former Baylor Bear, who had his season cut short due to injury last year. 0-1. Changeup called strike on the outer edge. Pineda did not love the call. And it's 0-2. Jack almost exclusively at short for Quad Cities last year, but now he's splitting time between both middle infield spots with Dustin Dickerson and Justin Johnson. 0-2. In the dirt, knocked down by Opitz. Both runners hold up. By the way, Quad Cities in the traditional road grays, their new road gray uniforms with the Quad City script across the chest, a blue number on the back, and blue and black piping. South Bend in their pinstriped home whites with the South Bend Cubs logo on the left chest and the blue numbers on the back. 1-2. Slider called. Strike 3 on the outside edge. Pineda's down looking to end the inning. Third strikeout of the game for the South Bend Cubs. The Bandits have stranded 4 base runners on through the first 3 innings. However, they lead. It's 2-1 going to the bottom of the third on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
The River Bandits pick up a couple of more base runners in their half of the third inning, but failed to score either. Quad Cities, however, still on top, 2-1 on the RBI triple from Davies Nadal back in the second. In the bottom of the third, South Bend will have the nine-hole hitter Ed Howard leading off, and then the usual leadoff man, the one-hitter Brett Bateman on deck, Rafael Morel in the hole. Looks like we have ourselves a pitch clock violation to open up the inning. Owen was too slow to get started. So it's a 1-0 pitch to Howard, and he sends the slider back up the middle, one hopping in front of Rockefort for a leadoff base knock. So the hits coming early and often for both teams. Lots of singles back into center field. And Howard now owns a modest 6-game on base streak. Owen left a breaking ball at the top of the zone, and Ed took care of it. So here's the left-handed swinging Brett Bateman. He squares to bunt at the first pitch, but takes low and inside. Third baseman Nadal was ready to charge, while the shortstop Dickerson prepared to cover second base should Ed try to steal. He is 2-for-2 attempting to pilfer this year. Owen looks his direction. Now the 1-0 is a called strike. Lower outside corner, 1-1. Still some sun happening here at the ballpark as we close in on 8 o'clock Eastern time. Late games this week in South Bend. Games on Tuesday through Friday begin at 7:05 Eastern. There goes Howard, 1-0, slapped into left field, a base hit. Howard wants to go first to third. Up with it, Ramirez, the throw to third, not in time, and up to second goes Bateman on the throw. Not sure if that was a designed hit and run or not, but it certainly worked like one. Howard gets the extra 90 feet. Brent Bateman, with a really nice piece of hitting, just goes the other way. Got a pitch on the outer edge of the zone, kept the hands back, and just slapped it out there. It was a very classic leadoff man type swing. So another really good opportunity for South Bend. Runners at third and second with nobody out. And Rafael Morel at the plate. He's been one of the hottest hitters for the Cubs over the last 10 ball games. First pitch fastball is taken high for ball one. Morel has reached base in every game he's played this year. A 9-game streak where he's hitting at 353 with 12 hits and just one walk. Owen gets the sign from Jensen. He sets at the belt. His 1-0 pitch is a strike. It's towards the top of the zone, evening the count at one. Morel, the brother of Chicago Cub and former South Bend man Christopher Morel, he had a four-hit game last Wednesday, 1-1. Looped in the air, foul over the first base side. It's 1-2. South Bend with five hits off of Hunter Owen. That ties his season high, which he gave out over the course of five innings last week against Peoria. 1-2. Way too high. A fastball at the neck. Two balls, two strikes. Owen's at 31 pitches through two-plus innings. 22 have been strikes, and he hasn't walked anybody. 2-2. Slider lined right at Dickerson, and everybody scurries back to their base. Terrific contact off the bat of Rafael Morel. A missile that just ended up right in the glove of Dustin Dickerson. So right place, right time for Quad Cities. They'll most certainly take it. Owen was able to lean on the defense to escape giving up a run in the second. He'll try to do the same here, now going left on right against Jefferson Rojas. First pitch to him. Fastball back into the screen for strike one. Rojas scored the Cubs' lone run in the first inning. He singled with two outs, and then Yohendrick Piñango tripled him home. Squires playing in over at first base, 0-1, a bit low, one ball, one strike. Owen, 6'5", 235 pounds, born in Edgewood, Kentucky, but was born and raised in South Portland, Maine, 1-1. Low and inside, 2-1. Owen was the top prep prospect. There's a tongue twister for you. The top prep prospect out of Maine back in 2020. Had a chance to get drafted and go pro, but opted to play for Vanderbilt instead. As the 2-1 pitch misses upstairs, and it's 3-1. Put together some good seasons in the SEC. He worked mostly out of the bullpen in his freshman and sophomore campaigns, but in 2023, a starter. All 12 appearances in a starting capacity. He posted a 3.52 ERA in 64 innings. 3-1 to Rojas. Fouled off the glove of Jensen, back to the screen. In that junior year at Vanderbilt, Owen's slider generated a whiff rate of 46%. That is a pretty ridiculous mark. He will lean on that pitch to get strikeouts. But against a righty, will he go to it here? Runners at second and third, one out, 3-2 pitch to Rojas. That's to the backstop, over Jensen's head. It ricochets off the doors right back to him. And back to third goes Howard. He was prepared to scamper home, but Jensen got a friendly bounce, and it will just wind up loading the bases. It's the first walk of the game issued by Hunter Owen. Boy, oh boy, that fastball sailed right over the right shoulder of David Sabol, the home plate umpire. That was as errant of a throw as we've seen Owen have to start the year. So the Cubs now have the bases loaded in the bottom of the third inning, and the Bandits pitching coach Derek Lewis is going to head out to the hill. D. Lou in his fifth year now in the Royals system, his second with Quad Cities. He brings in the whole infield plus the battery, and they'll figure out how to approach this here. Bases loaded, one out. And the big hitter for South Bend in that first inning, Yohendrick Pinyongo, coming up. This is a rare opportunity, though, for Owen to go left on left. Only two purely left-handed hitters in the order for Nick Lovello today. The leadoff guy, Bateman, who's over at second, and Pinyongo. Otherwise, all righties or switch hitters. Owen ready to resume. First pitch. Fastball inside. It's 1-0. Owen has been much better against lefties than righties to start the year, which obviously you'd expect from a southpaw. Left-handed hitters are batting just .077 against him, while righties are hitting .281. The 1-0 pitch. That's low. Two balls, no strikes. So Owen struggling a bit with his command here in the third. Maybe not necessarily struggling with the command, but being extra cautious against a guy who tripled off him earlier in the game. Owen's going to step off ahead of the 2-0 and reset. Quad Cities leads 2-1 in the bottom of the third inning. Already 9 hits in the game. South Bend has 5 of them. And 2 singles here in the third have helped them load the bases with 1 out. 2-0. Ground ball sharply hit. Snagged at second by Pineda. He goes to Dickerson for 1. On to first. That's a double play. Second of the game for Quad Cities. Their 10th of the year. And that was a big one for Hunter Owen. Yohendrick Pinyongo grounds into a frame-ending double play, and once again, Quad Cities tiptoes out of danger. To the fourth we go. Bandits still clinging to a 2-1 advantage. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
A couple of double plays for the best defense in the Midwest League has helped Hunter Owen allow just one run in 3 innings despite facing 6 different base runners. Quad City's bats looking to give him some run support in the top of the fourth. Bottom third of the order due up against the Cubs starter Nick Hole, the right-hander from Edmonds, Washington. First pitch, Dustin Dickerson takes inside for ball one. Dickerson, part of that inning-ending double play in the bottom of the third. Bandits went 4-6-3 in the 2-for-1. 1-0. Breaking ball left up. Line towards second, and Howard stabs it out of the sky with a leaping catch. Howard almost over-jumped that, if that's possible. The second baseman leaped much higher than he needed to, and he wound up catching it in the palm of his glove. Almost had it go off his wrist, but he hangs on for the out. And here's Gene Ramirez with the bases empty. First pitch, this one lined towards center. In comes Bateman, and he's got a running snag. Couple of pitches, couple of outs for Nick Cole in the fourth. And that brings up Davies Nadal, the third baseman. He's responsible for Quad Cities runs with the two-tally triple in the second. Left-handed batter against a right-handed pitcher. Hold delivers, and it's a slider for strike one. In these situations, you almost expect Nadal to be taking just to give Owen a little bit of time to rest in that third base dugout. 0-1. Slider, called strike, lower outside corner. It's 0-2. Catcher Opitz sets up away. The pitch, another slider, and this time it's fouled back to the screen. And Nadal's triple came in an 0-2 count back in the second inning. Hole looking for his fourth K. Another 0-2 is sent foul towards the first base dugout. Slow roller style, count holds. Pitch count for Hunter Owen, the Bandits starter. 43 through three innings. Nick Cole will throw his 60th pitch here in 3 2/3. Another two-strike offering. Another foul ball. This time Nadal ricochets it off his foot, and it's still 0-2. Nadal in his first season in both high A and with the Royal system after spending the first few years of his professional career in the Pittsburgh organization. Spent the last two seasons in single A Bradenton. Nice utility option for Brooks Conrad this summer. He's back in the box after shaking out the ankle. Hole's got the sign he wants from Opitz. Another 0-2. Swing and a miss. This time Nadal down on that slider. And for the first time tonight, Quad Cities goes 3-up, 3-down. And Nick Hull now has 4 strikeouts in 4 innings. Bottom of the fourth coming up next. Quad Cities still in front, 2-1.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Ready to bring you back for the bottom of the fourth here at Four Winds Field. Kyle Kercheval with you on the River Bandits Baseball Network. So glad to have you along with us for game 16 of the season and the first of 6 between the Bandits and Cubs this week in South Bend, Indiana. Hunter Owen, the pitcher for Quad Cities, deals a fastball to Felix Stevens, and he swings through it for strike one. Hunter Owen has not been super sharp in this game, but his defense has been right there to help him out. 0-1. Fastball lined over the right side, 0-2. Owen's gotten the help of double plays tonight. one in the second inning to help remove a runner at third with nobody out. And then in the third, the Cubs loaded the bases with one away, and Owen got Pinyongo to ground into a 4-6-3 inning-ending twin killing. 0-2 to Stevens. Fastball hit high in the air, deep right field. Back goes Dickey. Onto the track. He evens out at the wall and makes the catch. Nice snag by Jared Dickey. Looked like he was going to have to climb the wall if he was going to make that catch, but the ball dies out over the last 30 feet or so, and he's able to make the catch on the warning track. So that retires Stevens for the first out, and now Pedro Ramirez, the switch hitting third baseman, will have his second at bat of the night. He'll take low, ball one. 3 1/3 for Owen today. One run on 5 hits, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. Owen's done a good job not walking guys to start the year. 1-0 fastballs high and tight, 2-0. Owen walked just one batter in his first 3 outings, a total of 12 innings to begin his career. 2-0 pitch. Just a bit high, 3-0 on Ramirez. Pedro, a single to start the home half of the second inning. He stole second base and moved to third on a wild pitch, but didn't score. 3-0. That's right down the middle. He was the man removed on that 3-5 double play started by Brett Squires at first base. The leaping catch on the liner and then the throw across to Nadal. 3-1. Ramirez tardy. He fouls it over the first base side, and it's now a full count. Two strikeouts in 3 1/3 for Hunter Owen in his final season at Vanderbilt. Averaged just over 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, 76 in 64 frames. He takes a couple of deep breaths, now delivers the payoff. High and outside, ball four. So Ramirez trots onto the base paths for the second time in his many plate appearances tonight. And it will be some more traffic control for Hunter Owen as he'll now move into the stretch to face right-handed hitter Jonathan Long, who was the one lining into that aforementioned double play back in the second inning. The pitch to him. Slider called strike on the outer edge. The baseball popped out of Jensen's mitt, but it doesn't matter. Neither team with any action in the bullpens right now. Both starters have given up quite a few hits to open up the game, but really only two big blemishes. A one. Slider. Called strike, outer edge. Great location. It's 0-2. All three of the runs we've seen so far tonight have come on RBI triples. Quad City's got a two-run three-bagger from Davies Nadal in the second. Yohendrick Pinyongo gave the Cubs what was at the time a 1-0 lead in the first. 0-2. Popped over the screen. And Long stays alive. Fastball velocity for Owen, mid-90s. Don't have the pitch velo data for you tonight, but he was throwing 93-94 last week against Peoria. Ramirez at first with one out. Another 0-2. Fastball, see you later. Called strike three. Third strikeout of the game for Owen. And now he'll go up against Casey Opitz. A switch hitting catcher. Strikeout victim against Owen back in the second inning. Catcher Jensen sets up towards the top of the zone. First pitch is swung over the top of. It was low and outside, but a whiff from Opitz makes it 0-1. Casey, a former Arkansas product over in Fayetteville. He's from Littleton, Colorado. 0-1. There goes Ramirez. The pitch is outside. The throw to second by Jensen is late. Another stolen bag for Ramirez, who didn't have any coming into the game, but has now swiped second both times he's been aboard. So a runner at second, the tying run, and a 1-1 count for KC. The pitch. Low and outside, this time Opitz lays off. KC began his professional career back in 2021 after his final season at Arkansas. He was a four-year college player. He spent some time in both high A, double A, and triple A. 2-1 fouled back. Opitz even got a chance to hit during his first pro season in triple A back in 2021. Only hit in two games, but did pick up a hit and walked four times. Runner at second base, two outs, Bandits up 2-1. 2-2 Owen. Outside, but the slider, full count. Last season, he split time between Tennessee and South Bend. Double A Tennessee, he hit just 209, which is the exact same average he had in high A South Bend. He's back here in South Bend for the third season. 3-2. Just off the plate outside, ball four. That is the third walk of the game for Hunter Owen, who hadn't given out more than one across his first three appearances. And the inning is extended for Ed Howard, the Chicago, Illinois native, playing for his hometown Cubs affiliate. Howard, a leadoff single back in the third, but he never scored. First pitch, fastball, low and away. David Sabol not giving a whole lot on that corner. And Brooks Conrad is letting him hear about it from the third base dugout. Pitch count for Quad City starter now closing in on 65. 1-0. Bouncer over to second. Pineda's got it. He shuffles the feet and flips over to first to end the inning. Hunter Owen strands a couple of walks in a scoreless fourth. His Bandits still in front. 2-1. Fifth inning next on the River Bandits Baseball Network. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodmen Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodmen Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodmen Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Not quite halfway through the series opener in South Bend, Indiana. Quad Cities on the road here in Indy for the first time this year, taking on the Chicago Cubs High A affiliate. The game has been filled with plenty of base runners, but not many runs to show for it. Quad Cities still up 2-1 as we begin the fifth inning. It's been this score since the top of the second. Carson Rockefort, the Bandits' leadoff man, will lead off this inning against Nick Hull. First pitch is lined over to second and snagged by Howard. Quickly one away. Hull needed just five pitches to get through the fourth inning. And with one pitch to Rockefort, he's gotten out.
The catcher, Carter Jensen.
The Bandits have put some pretty good swings on Hull over this last inning in the third, but they've all been outs. Here's Carter Jensen, 1-for-2 with a single tonight. First pitch to him. Line drive, this one past Howard into the right field grass. Jensen will stop at first base with a one-out single. He's got himself a two-hit night. We've seen Jensen use all sides of the field to start the year, but he's pulled a couple into right today, and he's got his team-leading fifth multi-hit contest of the season.
Number 19, first baseman.
So
Brett
now,
Squires.
The Bandits first baseman, Brett Squires, into the left-handed batter's box. Brett, a single and a strikeout next to his name tonight. Hull's first pitch is low and inside, ball one. No activity in Quad City's bullpen, but it looks like South Bend has gotten a right-hander up down the first baseline. Looks like Cohen Moreno starting to toss. 1-0. Foul ball off of Opitz. It's one ball, one strike. Brett Squires, the 24-year-old from Fort Worth, Texas. It's been pretty much the everyday first baseman for Quad Cities to start the year. He's primarily hit cleanup, but he's moved up a spot in the order, as we saw on Sunday with Trevor Werner out of the lineup. Rockeford away from first, make that Jensen, the 1-1. Big breaking ball is taken up and in. Two balls and one strike. I was mentioning earlier, Jensen's been great on the base paths this year. He's 5-for-6 stealing. He had three last week. Holes 2-1. Fouled just over the screen off the facade behind home, and then it bounces down into the fourth row. Squires, in his first season in High A, put up an 8.11 OPS en route to MILB.com organization all-star honors with Columbia last year. He pulls one to second. It's gloved by Howard. Flip to Rojas on to first. That's an inning-ending double play. Both teams have now grounded into an inning-ending twin killing tonight, and that helps keep this score still locked up at 2-1. We're through the first half of action tonight at Four Winds Field. Bandits up by a tally on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
One ball game halfway home tonight. Quad Cities in front of the South Bend Cubs, a team the Bandits beat in 2 out of 3 games on opening weekend back at the beginning of this month. Kyle Kirchival with you. Pleased to have you along. Top third of the order due up for South Bend with Hunter Owen looking to complete at least a 5-inning start for the third time in his young career. And Brett Bateman will see to it that he has some leadoff traffic to deal with. He sends the first pitch he sees into right field for a leadoff single. Now, Brett Bateman was a real pain in the neck, to say the least, for Quad Cities back at Modern Woodman Park. He's now 2-for-3 against Owen tonight. And with Moreno still warming up in the first base pen for South Bend, Quad Cities has gotten a lefty up on the third base side. Here's Rafael Morel. He bunts the first pitch. Fielded by Owen, he'll go the easy way to first. Morel removed on the sacrifice with Bateman up the second. So with the way this game is going, little plays like that may prove to be the difference. And it's not a bad idea to move a man into scoring position for Jefferson Rojas, who's 1-for-1 with a single and a walk today. And at just 18 years old, is putting together one of the best seasons in the Midwest League through 15 or so games. First pitch, low and inside, ball one. For Quad Cities, the lefty down the third baseline is A.J. Block. 0-1, paused above the belt. A pick to second. The throw, not knocked down by Pineda. It bounces off the bag into center field. Around third, Bateman. He stops. Now Rockeford bobbles the ball in center, and still Bateman will hold up. Jack Pineda not where he needed to be at the second base bag. He was a bit off to the right of the base. The throw went towards the front of the bag where Bateman would have been diving back towards, but he was only a couple of feet from the base to begin with. I don't know why Quad Cities picked over. The throw from Owen went off the bag over Pineda into the outfield. Now the infield in as the 1-0 to Rojas is skied to center field. That should be plenty deep. Rockeford makes the catch, tagging from third Bateman, and he'll score to tie the game at 2. Jefferson Rojas continuing to have a tremendous stretch. He's now got a single, a walk, and an RBI tonight. Of course, Hunter Owen charged for an error on the throw to second base. That's just the River Bandits' seventh error of the season. So it proves costly as Johendrik Pinyongo strides in and takes a strike at the bottom of the zone. And these little close games, like I said, every 90 feet matters. How big was that sack bunt now? 0-1. Ground ball through the vacated left side into left field. Two-hit night for Pinyongo. Two-out single for the multi-year South Bend Cub. And the inning continues on for Felix Stevens. It's now 7 hits allowed by Hunter Owen through 4 2/3. He's thrown a lot of strikes in the ball game, but the Cubs have turned him into hits. Stevens 0-for-2 with a strikeout as Hunter spikes one in front of home plate. It's past Jensen to the backstop. That'll be the second wild pitch of the game for Hunter Owen. Pinyongo now into scoring position. And the Cubs have taken advantage of some of the Bandits' miscues tonight, especially here in this inning. Stevens trying to keep that trend going. Owen delivers. Fouled into the screen. It's 1-1. 2-2 in the bottom of the fifth inning. Cubs have scored for the first time since the first. Moreno has stopped throwing in the South Bend bullpen, mostly because I think he's just ready to go for the sixth. A.J. Block still getting loose for Quad Cities as Owen labors through the fifth inning. 1-1. Slow roller to third, but it's snagged by Nick Lovello in the third base coach's box. The Cubs skipper flips it into the seats. Of course, Nick is the son of Tori Lovello, the skipper of the National League champions from last year, Arizona Diamondbacks. Stevens has asked for time a couple of feet out of the home plate circle. He puts his hands up and down the barrel and now steps in. Owen along the third base side of the rubber sets and peeks back at Pinyongo. Pineda holding him. 1-2. Low and outside, and it's 2-2. The slider today for Owen has just not looked as sharp as we've seen it through the first couple of games this year. Like I said, he's been in and around the zone for the most part, but when he's missed badly, it's been really bad. 2-2. Chopper foul again by Nick Lovello in that third base coach's box. Stevens a likely strikeout candidate. Already 13 Ks and 25 at-bats coming into tonight. Bandit's a little bit familiar with him after he spent parts of last year here in South Bend. 2-2. That's high, a full count. Well, Owens a pitch away from picking up either his fourth walk or his fourth strikeout. Cubs have the go-ahead run at second base with two away. This is one of the bigger pitches of the ball game, and regardless of the result, it may be Owens' last batter faced. Now he'll step off the hill and look back Pinyongo at second base, who does a little bit of a salsa dance along the bag. Pineda not bothering to hold him. He's back, ready to play defense. 3-2. Swing and a miss. He got him on strikes. Big K for Hunter Owen. That's his fourth of the ball game, but the Cubs bring five men to the plate in the fifth and tie the game on the sack fly by Jefferson Morales. All tied up at two. We go to the sixth on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
South Bend is first to the bullpen tonight. The right-hander Cohen Moreno will deal the top of the sixth against Quad Cities. Score tied up at two. Kale Emshoff greets him. The Bandits DH will take called strike one on the outer edge. Heart of the order due up for the Bandits. Emshoff, Dickey, Pineda to face the righty Moreno, who's making his fourth appearance of the year for the Cubs. A one on the way. Fastball outside. Moreno's given up seven runs, six earned in nine innings. He has a whip of over 1.5, giving up eight hits and six walks through those nine innings. 1-1 to Emshoff. Cued off the end of the bat, foul towards the first base side. The River Bandits DH is one of just two men in Brooks Conrad's lineup to not reach base tonight. Emshoff 0-2. The leadoff man, Carson Rockefort, 0-3. Moreno with the long blue sleeves on and curly black hair spilling out of the back of his cap. He gets the sign from Opitz, the 1-2. Swing and a miss. A great changeup. And that is out number one here in the top of the sixth. That was a really clean pitch. That brings up Jared Dickey. But the base is empty and one out. Dickey 0-1 with a walk tonight. Right on left, the pitch. Bottom of the zone, rather below the zone. It's in the dirt, 1-0. A.J. Block continuing to go for Quad Cities. He will likely replace Hunter Owen in the bottom half of the sixth. Cubs right-hander with a deep breath, the 1-0 pitch. Fastball outside, it's 2-0. Final line for Nick Hull with the game tied at 2. It'll be a no decision for him. Just 2 runs allowed in 5 innings on 5 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Pretty good night for him. 2-0. That's low. 3-0 count. Moreno, 6'2", 170 pounds. 22-year-old from North Carolina. 3-0. Low and inside, ball 4. Dickey works his second walk of the game. And the Bandits put a man on for Jack Pineda. That's the 4th walk issued by Cubs pitching this evening. Pineda, 1-for-2. Single back in the 2nd, and a strikeout in the 3rd. First pitch, just outside, ball 1. Moreno taken out of high school by the Cubs in the 5th and final round of the 2020 draft. He was taken out of Panther Creek High School in Cary, North Carolina. This season marks his first in the Midwest League, 1-0. Low and inside, 2-0, and Moreno struggling to find the zone. That was an issue for Cohen his last time out against Beloit back on April 18th, as Casey Opitz, the catcher, will meet with him on the mound. He took the loss in that game, gave up 4 runs, 3 earned, and 2 1/3. He allowed 3 hits, but a season-high 4 walks. Picked up 3 strikeouts, but there was just far too much traffic. Opitz on his way back behind home plate as Jack Pineda adjusts his batting gloves and slowly eyes that left-handed batter's box. Dickey with good speed at first base. He's swiped 4 bags this year without being caught. Long holds him on. The 2-0. Dickey bluffs a steal. The pitch is low, and it's 3 balls, no strikes. A.J. Block continuing to toss for Quad Cities. Safe to say he'll get the bottom of the 6th once we get there. Both teams have already bounced into a double play tonight. Moreno hoping for one here. 3-0. Fastball, a called strike on the inner half. Quad Cities has not crowded into many double plays this year. They've done it just 4 times prior to tonight. The Cubs, on the other hand, have bounced into 11. 3-1. Runner not going, and Pineda swings over the top of a slider for strike 2. Score tied up at 2 in the top of the 6th inning. Cubs out hitting Quad Cities 7-5. Moreno sets above the belt. The pitch in the dirt low, off for second Dickey, and he'll pull up. He can walk the rest of the way as Pineda works a 2-out free pass, or rather a 1-out free pass, second walk of the inning for QC. So a couple of free passes given out by the South Bend Cubs. That's been an issue for them to start the year. They've given out 107 walks through 127 1/3 innings prior to tonight. Dustin Dickerson trying to take advantage. He takes a strike. It really has been a tough year on the mound for the Cubs. You mentioned the walks. You just look to whip overall, and it's 1.85 as a team. That's 0.3 points higher than the next worst in the high A level, as Dickerson swings over a pitch in the dirt. It's 0-2. Cubs whip the worst in high A. Their ERA the highest at over 6. But they've held the Bandits to just 2 runs so far tonight. Moreno, a look to second base. The 0-2 to Dickerson. Low and outside, picked out of the dirt by Opitz. Dustin 0-for-1 with a walk and a run scored. He reached back in the 2nd inning. The 0-for-1 because of a line out in the 4th on a ball he shot over towards Ed Howard, and the second baseman robbed him of a hit. Another 2-strike toss. Foul ball over the screen, out of play. As we get into this second half of the ball game, we'll be sure to check out some scores from around the Midwest League. and also see what's going on in the Kansas City Royals farm system today. The Columbia Fireflies were playing some breakfast baseball earlier today. They're already done. They got an 8-0 win against Augusta. 1-2. A bit high. Good take from Dickerson. Two balls and two strikes. Fireflies scored a couple of runs in the first inning and just never looked back. They rode a great start from Ethan Bosacker, who went five scoreless innings en route to his first win of the year. Another two-strike offering. That's high, and the count goes full. Quality at-bat for Dustin Dickerson. This next pitch will be the sixth of the appearance. I beg your pardon, it will be the eighth. Moreno with the full count pitch. Fastball, got him looking. Lower outside corner for strike three. David Sabol rings up Dusty. And that was a big strikeout for Moreno. That was a great pitch and a good frame by Opitz to make sure that Sabol saw that in the zone. Moreno had just four strikeouts in his first nine innings this season. But he's got both his outs by way of the K tonight. So first and second with two outs for Gene Ramirez. And he'll take low and inside for ball one. Ramirez has scored one of the Bandits' runs. He came in on the Nadal triple in the second. He flew out the center in the fourth. 1-0. Fastball, called strike, lower outside corner. 1-1. Moreno's had to throw a decent number of pitches in this inning. That last toss is 23rd, and just 10 have been in the zone. The pitch. Swing and a miss. A changeup that gets Ramirez out in front and over the top. One ball, two strikes. And Moreno trying to strand the go-ahead run in scoring position. And Pineda at first base. Here comes the 1-2. Low and outside, could not get him to chase the changeup. Two-two, tied up in the top of the sixth inning. Bandits have not scored since the second. 2-2. Fly ball, deep center. On the move, Bateman. He'll camp underneath it, make the catch, and end the inning. Couple more base runners for the Bandits in their half of the sixth, but Cohen Moreno works around them. We're tied at two. Bottom half of the frame next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Ready to begin the bottom of the sixth here at Four Winds Field. The sun no longer a factor tonight, at least in terms of shadows and sunlight on the field. We've reached that point of the evening where you get those dark blue twilight skies which give outfielders fits. Bandits going with a new pitcher to try to keep the ball out of the outfield, the lefty A.J. Block. He starts the bottom of the sixth on the hill for Quad Cities and starts off Pedro Ramirez with a called strike one. Ramirez, long opens due up in a 2-2 game. The lefty blocks, one strike toss is grounded back to him. He snags it off the front of the mound, resets his feet, and flips to Squires for the out. As the first time today, Ramirez has not reached base. He had singled and walked in his first two plate appearances, but as Block has done through his first three outings this season, he gets a quick out. So one away, base is clear for Jonathan Long. 0-for-2 with a double play ball and a strikeout. First pitch, wave and a miss, 0-1. It's been a tremendous return to action for A.J. Block this year. After missing each of the last two full seasons recovering from Tommy John, he's been excellent. 0-1 slider, called strike on the outer edge, 0-2. Block has thrown six scoreless innings in his first three appearances for the Bandits with eight strikeouts. Southpaw's 0-2 pitch to Long. Fastball up. Block has only given up five base runners through six innings, and only one of those has been a hit. 1-2. Got him swinging on that slider. A classic back foot breaking ball from A.J. Block. He does that as well as anyone on this Bandits pitching staff. And there are quickly two down. Block relieving Hunter Owen, the Quad City starter, who didn't have his best start tonight, but grinded out a pretty decent outing. First pitch to Opitz is outside. Owen gave up seven hits and three walks in five innings, but only surrendered two runs and picked up four strikeouts along the way. Block out of the full wind, 1-0. Tapped foul to the left side. In coming back from Tommy John, Block was talking the other day about how he's gone from kind of competing against himself in terms of making a comeback to now competing against the opposition. 1-1, outside 2-1. He spent the last 2 years just working his way back and challenging himself to take that next step in his return. And now the mindset has flipped, 2-1. Fouled into the screen, 2-2. Now the mindset has flipped to, it's me versus the guy at the plate. And any kind of injury concerns that plagued him over the last couple of seasons have completely gone by the wayside. He deals again. Sliders low, full count. Based on what he says, there is no thought in the back of his mind about any kind of injuries or anything like that. He says his stuff is pretty much the same, his mechanics are pretty much the same. He's just thrilled to be back out there. Full count pitch to Opitz. Slider, got him, swinging strike three. The ball ricochets out of Jensen's glove. He'll throw down to first base and complete a 1-2-3 scoreless inning for A.J. Block. Make it seven straight scoreless innings to start the year for the former Washington State man. And we go to the seventh with the score still tied up at two.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together. 7 innings in the books tonight. Quad Cities and South Bend stuck in an interesting ball game. The score is tied up at 2, but there have been plenty of base runners on both sides. At the plate, Quad Cities has worked 5 hits and 5 walks. For South Bend, they've worked 7 hits and 3 walks. So 20 total base runners in the game, just 4 runs to show for it. Davis Nadal leads off the top of the 7th for Quad Cities, facing Cohen Moreno. He'll take the first pitch high, and now reset for the 1-0. The right-hander delivers, and that's inside, 2-0. Nadal has the only RBI swing for Quad Cities today. He had a 2-strike, 2-out, 2-run triple in the second inning. The 2-0 pitch, right down the middle, 2-1. As I mentioned earlier, the Columbia Fireflies got themselves an 8-0 shutout win over Augusta today in the single-A level as Nadal tried to send a ball to Columbia, but he swung over the top of it, chased in the dirt, 2-2. Fireflies, 8 runs on 10 hits in addition to the shutout pitching effort. They are now 10-5 down in the Carolina League. 2-2 to Nadal. Skips in the dirt. Nadal watches it into the glove of Opitz for ball 3. At the AA level in the Royals farm system, the Northwest Arkansas Naturals scored 4 runs in the first. They lead Tulsa 4-2 going to the third. Payoff pitch. Swing and a miss. 3 strikeouts in a scoreless inning in a third for Cohen Moreno. One away with the lineup card turning back over. As far as the AAA affiliate goes, the Omaha Storm Chasers, lots of offense in their game. It's 6-4 Chasers in the bottom of the 5th. They're hosting Paul Skeens and the Indianapolis Indians this week. Rockefort takes outside, ball 1. Rockefort 0-for-3 in the ball game, but he lined out sharply to second back in the 5th inning, his last time up. 1-0, check swing. Doesn't matter, a called strike 1. Nobody warming up in either bullpen. A.J. Block just completed a perfect bottom of the 6th. Moreno, the first man out of the bullpen for Nick Lovello tonight. 1-1. Tapped foul back towards the screen. 1 ball, 2 strikes. Over in the Midwest League, one game has gone final. It was the battle in Lansing between the Dragons and the Lugnuts. Dayton gets the win 6-3 at Jackson Field. 1-2. Grounder foul towards the first base coach's box. It's once again reoccupied by River Bandits assistant hitting coach Christopher Corbett. He was away from the team for the last week or so with his wife Kaylee celebrating their newborn son, their first child, baby Jackson. So a shout out to the Corbett family. 1-2. In the dirt. Rockefort watches it bounce off Opitz. Chris, a proud father, on the bus out. The bus ride out to South Bend. He was showing everybody pictures of his new baby boy. He's excited to be back, though. 2-2. Got him swinging. A nice changeup. Gets Moreno his 4th strikeout. And that changeup has been an issue for Quad Cities hitting tonight. Take a look at the replay on the in-booth monitor. Oh, that's pretty. Just fades away from the barrel of Rockefort. You couldn't have placed that ball in a better spot. So base is empty. 2 outs for Carter Jensen, the catcher. First pitch slider missed high to him. Ball 1. Jensen is the only River Bandit with a multi-hit effort tonight. 2-for-3 with a pair of singles. 1-0. Off the plate, inside, 2-0. Lots of games in the Midwest League in the middle innings. The Tin Caps and Loons, though, did get rained out in Fort Wayne today. 2-0. That's outside, 3-0. They're planning on playing a doubleheader tomorrow, so they'll do what Quad Cities did last week against the Chiefs. Series opener rained out. Let's play 2 on Wednesday. Jensen in the driver's seat, 3-0 pitch. Fastball on the lower outside corner. Peoria back at home this week, hosting Wisconsin. They've held the Timber Rattlers to just one run and one hit. They lead 6-1 in the sixth. The pitch to Jensen. Wave and a miss. Good changeup. Makes the count full. And then in Cedar Rapids, the Colonels are hosting Beloit for their latest series. And it's Cedar Rapids in front over in Eastern Iowa, 2-0 in the bottom of the fifth. Two outs, bases empty. Payoff pitch to Jensen. Fly ball right center field, hanging in the air, racing over. It lands right in between Bateman and Morrell. Jensen around second, going for third base. The throw to the cutoff man, and there is no relay to third. It's going to be a three-hit game for Carter Jensen and his second triple of the year. Thought with the ball hanging up in the air that someone would come down with it, but it landed right in between Bateman and Morrell with neither taking charge. So it's a triple, not an error. Nobody touched it. And now all of a sudden, Quad Cities has the go-ahead run at third base. It's the first time they've had a guy at third base since the second inning. Brett Squires trying to bring him home. First pitch in the dirt, knocked down by Opitz. Jensen stays put. One of those two outs with runner in scoring position situations for Quad Cities. Entered tonight hitting under 100 in those scenarios. 1-0. Popped over the screen, over the third base side. It's 1-1. Quad Cities was able to get one of those two out and runner in scoring position hits from Nadal in the second for their only tallies of the game. That was the two-run triple. 1-1 to Squires. Fastball up and away, 2-1. Pitch count for Moreno at 46. Just 22 have been a strike. The pitch. Up and outside. 3-1 count for Brett Squires. Cale Emshoff, the designated hitter, waits on deck as the cleanup man. Squires 1-for-3 with a single tonight. He awaits the 3-1. Now rips it into right field for a base hit. Jensen trots home. It's 3-2 Quad Cities. Brett Squires gets the clutch two-out hit for QC. It's his eighth RBI of the year. And for the second time tonight, the Bandits have themselves a lead. Multi-hit game for Squires. He's 2-for-4. That's his fourth multi-hit contest of the season. Now Emshoff. First pitch swing in. He whiffs through a fastball for strike one. We talked about the defensive miscues for South Bend this season. They've been so costly. Obviously, Jensen gets credit for a triple, but it was essentially an error as Emshoff is hit up around the elbows, trying to lean out of the way. I think he wore one off the elbow pad. He immediately takes the stuff off and heads down to first. He's totally fine. But I don't know if Moreno is. The pitching coach for South Bend, Bruce Billings, out of the first base dugout, headed out to the hill. Three straight have reached for Quad Cities with two outs. South Bend is going to use this opportunity to start getting somebody loose. It is a lefty down there who is grabbed a baseball and started tossing. I believe it's Jack Patterson. 3-2 Bandits in the top of the seventh inning. Seven hits for each team in this game. And despite all the hits, it seems like it's the miscues that have been most often leading to runs. It hasn't been, you know, a bunch of extra base hits here and there with some homers and some stolen bases. It's been rare base runners and guys advancing on mistakes ready to resume. First pitch to Jared Dickey. He's low and in, ball one. Dickey has also been aboard a couple of times. 0 for 1 with two walks under his belt. Runners at second and first, two away. The pitch is a fastball outside, 2-0. Tonight, the first of six games between Quad Cities and South Bend this week. Another 7:05 first pitch tomorrow night for game two. Hitters count for Dickey, 2-0. Wave and a miss. There's that changeup again, 2-1. Well, that has most certainly been the best pitch for Cohen. He was terrific with single A Myrtle Beach last year. 26 appearances, a 2.90 ERA. The pitch. Wave and a miss. Exact same offering, different spot. And that evens the count at two. Deuces wild for the Bandits in the top of the seventh. Two on, two out, a 2-2 count. Jack Pineda waits on deck for QC. Moreno's delivery. Foul ball off the glove of Opitz. He nearly squeezed it for the strikeout. Instead, Jared will stay alive. He's hitting 238 to open the year for Quad Cities, but his OPS is around 730. A look back to Squires for Moreno. Now another 2-2. High and away, full count. Now really a big pitch for Quad Cities. Both runners on the move. Anything down the lines or in the alleys could be huge for the River Bandits. Here comes the payoff pitch. It's ball four. That fastball missed up and away. Moreno immediately steps off the hill and covers his mouth in disgust. As Squires trots to third, Emshoff goes to second, and Jared Dickey is safe at first base with his third walk of the game. That ties the Bandits' season high for most walks in a contest this year. So they're all loaded up for Jack Pineda. The Bandits' second baseman is 1-for-2 with a single. First pitch. High and away, ball one. And it feels like for Moreno, the pitch that's working is that changeup down and away to left-handed hitters, but he can't get anything else to work with it. The fastball has not been located well over this last inning. 1-0 to Jack. Again, the fastball high and outside. 2-0, and now Pineda can really wait for his pitch. Like they're hitting with runners in scoring position, the Bandits have not been great with the bases loaded, but obviously far fewer opportunities. 2-0. Pineda grounds one over to second. Howard's got it. Throw to first in time is routine. And that will end the threat in the seventh. Quad Cities brings seven batters to the plate. They load them up, but they're held just one on the two-out RBI single from Brett Squires. The game now again favoring Quad Cities. 3-2. Time to stretch on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
of Quad Cities runs tonight have come with two outs. The latest hit, an RBI single from Brett Squires to give the Bandits their lead back. 3-2, bottom of the seventh underway. A.J. Block back out on the bump, pitching to Ed Howard. Cubs shortstop takes the first pitch out of the zone and now awaits the 1-0 and takes a strike on the outer edge. Block was fantastic in his first frame of work in the sixth. He needed just 12 pitches for a perfect inning, plus two strikeouts. 1-1. Line drive opposite way towards right. Dickey on the move. It lands next to him for a base hit. Howard stops at second as Jared sends a BB towards the second base bag. It's a two-hit game out of the ninth spot for Ed Howard. Nice to see him having a good game. He's only hitting 111 to start the year, but he's had kind of an injury-riddled past couple of seasons. He's been with the Cubs now for parts of a couple of years, and he's hopefully on his way to the next levels here soon as Brett Bateman will take a called strike. Leadoff man for South Bend, 2-for-3 with a pair of singles and a run. Bateman takes his timeout early in the 0-1 count. Goes all the way out to the grass on the right side of the home plate area. Takes a dry hack and walks back in. Howard looked at first by Block, the 0-1. Slider in for a strike, bottom of the zone. That hit for Howard, just the second against A.J. Block through eight innings this year. Opponents are hitting just 0-56 against the former Washington State Cougar. 0-2, slider slid too far outside and Bateman didn't chase. 1-2 count. Block originally drafted out of high school by the Chicago Cubs back in 2016. He very well could have been playing with the pinstripes on here at this ballpark, but played college ball instead as the throw goes to first and Howard's back. It was a good move for him because he went up from the 39th round in 2016 to the 17th round in 2019 after four seasons in the Pac-12. A look to first. 1-2 to Bateman. A slider pulled into right center field that lands for a base hit. It's going to roll all the way to the wall. Dickey chases it down on the warning track, not before Howard scores, and into third base with a game-tying RBI triple is Brett Bateman. This man loves to hit against the Quad Cities River Bandits. Another RBI triple. That is the third in this ball game. Three-hit game for Bateman, his first triple, and his fourth RBI of the season. Just like that, the Cubs have knotted it up at three, and they've got the go-ahead runner at third with nobody out. Infield squeezing Rafael Morel as he takes low for ball one. Right fielder Morel, 0-for-2. He had a sack bunt back in the fifth inning. Block delivers. Chopper back up the middle. Pass block. Knocked down by Dickerson. A sliding stab. He goes to first for the out. And most importantly, Bateman stays at third base. Smooth play by Dickerson, who was not thrown off by the minimal contact that the baseball made with Block's mitt. It killed the velocity a little bit, but I think it actually helped Dickerson get to the ball. A sliding stop allowed him to glove it and throw to first in time for the out. And now Derek Lewis is going to take a trip to the hill before Jefferson Rojas bats. Excuse me, before Pinyango bats. Nope, this is Rojas. Sorry, I've got my scorebook a little bit messed up. That's why you bring the wideout. It is a key to being a broadcaster, let me tell you. Growing up, I was always a pencil kid. In high school, everyone started switching over to pens, and I was the weird kid that was still using pencils to write things. It's because I made mistakes and needed to erase them. But when you become a broadcaster, you've got to keep your book organized with different colors and all kinds of different markings.
you can't be the broadcaster with colored pencils. I mean, at some point, you got to get out of elementary school. Eventually, I did. But now I need to have the whiteout to make up for my incompetencies. Back to here to Four Winds Field. Jefferson Morales in the box takes outside for ball one. That's the first run given up by A.J. Block since 2021 in his first season as a River Bandit. Rojas has had a great ball game as he takes in the dirt. Pitch knocked down by Jensen. This is a situation where a walk may not be the worst thing ever. Either way, the go-ahead run's going to be at third. If you walk Rojas, you've got men at the corners, and with one out, the double play comes into effect, and Block can go left on left against Yohendrick Piñango. Behind in the count 2-0, let's see how aggressive AJ gets. Here's the pitch. Foul ball off the glove of Jensen. Rojas took a big hack. It's 2-1. Rojas extended his league-best hit streak to 10 games with a first-inning single and came in to score on Piñango's RBI triple. He then walked in the third and drove in a run with a sac fly in the fifth to tie the game up at 2 at the time. 2-1. Big slider taken outside. It's 3-1. AJ immediately licking his fingers after the pitch. It must have slipped out of his hands a bit. No action in Quad City's bullpen, but Jack Patterson, who's been throwing off and on over the last couple of frames, looks ready to go. He's just kind of walking around back there with his glove in his hands. 3-1. Slider, broken bat, roller, grabbed at second by Pineda. He looks back, Bateman, and flips to first for the out. Couple of big ground ball outs for Quad Cities. The middle infield making a couple of nice plays. And now it will take some two-out production from Piñango. Block able to crack the bat of Rojas, who was jammed on the swing. And he could only harmlessly ground out to Pineda. Two-away, go-ahead run at third. First pitch. Slider in there, strike one. That's when that pitch becomes so effective for Block. When he goes left on left with his slider, he's one of the toughest guys to hit in the league, if you ask me. 0-1. Fastball called strike, upper inside corner. Piñango didn't love the call, and it's 0-2. Block firmly in the driver's seat. Trying to leave that go-ahead man at third base. 0-2. High fly, deep right field. Dickey back. He looks up, and it's gone. A two-strike, two-out, go-ahead two-run homer for Yohendrick Piñango. And South Bend takes the lead once more. Block tried to slide it on the outside edge of the zone, but instead left it center cut to one of the hottest hitters in the Midwest League. And Piñango makes him pay. He is now a double away from the cycle and working on a 3 RBI night. So here's Felix Stevens with two outs. He'll take a slider for strike one. Seldom do you see Block make a pitch like that. Very uncharacteristic for him, but a tip of the cap to South Bend, who made him throw a lot of pitches and finally got something they could work with. A one slider, low and outside, 1-1. Of course, is the first home run allowed by Block this year. It's also just the seventh allowed by the Bandits. 1-1. Outside with the slider once more, 2-1. Coming into tonight, the Bandits' 6 homers allowed was tied for the second fewest in the league. Just another example of how dominant the Bandits' pitching staff has been. 2-1, fastball up and inside, 3-1. Block perhaps a little bit razzled right now. Stevens 0 for 3 with 2 strikeouts tonight. The pitch. Wave and a miss. Good changeup from Block. Count full. Quad Cities has hurried a man into the bullpen. It's like the lefty Parker Harm is the break glass in case of emergency option. Stevens in and out of the box, ready to go. Locks payoff. Ground ball through the left side, another base hit.
12th, make that 11th of the game for the South Bend Cubs, and the first of the night for the big-hitting Stevens. So let's see how much longer Brooks Conrad opts to leave Block out there. AJ had rattled off three straight two-inning scoreless outings in his first few appearances of the year, but the Cubs have gotten to him tonight. First pitch to Ramirez is taken low. Pedro, the switch-hitting third baseman, 1-for-2 with a single, a walk, and a pair of stolen bases, his first two of the year. 1-0 comes home. Chopper towards second. Pineda charges, bobbles. He runs into Stevens, and they're going to call interference for an out. Jack Pineda sprinting in, trying to field the ground ball, and Stevens either ran into him or got in the way in a method that Nobu Yasuta felt was illegal. Nick Lavella will argue it, but the damage has been done. 5-3 South Bend on the homer by Yohendrick Piñango. Eighth inning next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Quad City's back to the plate for the start of the eighth inning. Jack Patterson, the new hurler for South Bend. He starts off against Dustin Dickerson and drops in strike one with the fastball. Patterson, the third pitcher tonight for South Bend. The second reliever comes in for Cohen Moreno, 0-1. Slider inside, 1-1. Moreno goes two innings, gives up a run on two hits, three walks, and four strikeouts, but he's currently in line for the win after the three-run inning by the Cubs in the seventh. The pitch. Fastball high to Dusty, 2-1. Bandit shortstop, 0-for-2 with a walk and a run scored tonight. Patterson making his third appearance of the year for the Chicago Cubs High A affiliate. He delivers. Slider low and in at 3-1. Patterson, 28 years old from Suffield, Connecticut, a 32nd round pick by the Cubs all the way back in 2018, who's coming into this year off back-to-back Tommy John surgeries. 3-1. That's low, ball four. Dickerson works his second walk of the game. Quad Cities has had plenty of opportunities with the walks tonight. That's the seventh they've drawn. Patterson, though, a terrific story. It starts out, though, not so terrific. Came out of Bryant University over in Rhode Island back in 2018. At one time, a top 30 prospect in the Cubs system. Gene Ramirez tries to bunt the first pitch. Did he offer? He did. It's a swinging strike one, according to Nobu Yasuta. Ramirez thought he had pulled back, but they say that's 0-1. Back in the day, Patterson, a terrific reliever in the system, as Gene now takes on a slider outside. If you go back to 2019, when he was really hitting his stride, pitched at three different levels and posted a 1.69 combined ERA in almost 80 innings. 1-1. Another slider taken outside, and Gene Ramirez in the driver's seat, 2-1. But then he suffers Tommy John, or undergoes Tommy John surgery, I should say, in back-to-back years. The pitch. Ramirez bunts it back. Patterson fields, goes to second, and gets the out with Rojas digging it out of the dirt. Dickerson is going to be removed 1-6 on a really nice play by Patterson. Ramirez safe on a fielder's choice. Patterson with a terrific play. The bunt was more or less back to him, but he had to turn his body around, make a strong and accurate throw. He did just that. So a runner at first, one out for Davies Nadal. Nine-hole hitter takes inside for ball one. And Patterson, though, going 4 years without pitching in affiliated ball, coming back from his surgery as Nadal takes a hearty hack. Comes up empty on the fastball, 1-1. Put together a 2.34 ERA for South Bend in 2019, then got called up to High A Myrtle Beach at the time, back when those affiliates were flipped. 1-1, high and outside, 2-1. He dominated for the Pelicans. He pitched five times, making five starts, did not give up an earned run in 23 and two-thirds innings. That's a zero ERA, folks. 2-1. Slider for a strike on the outer edge, 2-2. But that year, moving up to Double A, needed to go through the surgery. He did just that. And after three seasons, he is back in action. He's already pitched with both Myrtle Beach and South Bend this year. Ramirez at first, 2-2. Swing and a miss on the slider. Nadal is out number two. So Davies, after the two-run triple back in the second inning, has struck out three consecutive times. And it's back to the top of the order for Carson Rockeford. That was a terrific two-strike slider. Patterson, basically the exact same fastball slider combo as what we saw from A.J. Block. Throw to first base, Ramirez back. A.J. likely done for Quad Cities as Parker Harm continues to throw in the Bandits bullpen. Block completed another two-inning outing but gave up three runs. And the lead as Rockeford swings over top of a breaking ball. And it's 0-1. Carson's been quiet in the leadoff spot today. 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts. A look to first, 0-1. Slider outside, 1-1. Just over the two-hour mark in game time tonight. Got started at 7:05 Eastern. The pitch. Fouled over the Bandits bullpen. That one's going to find the seats. Obviously, with the sun setting, things have gotten considerably cooler out there tonight. According to Apple Weather, still 53 degrees, but with the wind blowing and no sun, a lot of hoodies, jackets, and beanies have been broken out in both dugouts. 1-2 to Rocco. Up and away, could not get him to chase. Rockeford, the Royals' number 16 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. He has had some huge late-game hits for Quad Cities to start his High A career. 2-2. Wave and a miss. He chased in the dirt. Strike three. Opitz slaps the tag on him. And Jack Patterson works around that leadoff walk. He puts together a good defensive play himself and then comes back with a couple of strikeouts. Quad Cities down 5-3 going to the bottom of the eighth on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits, it's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Bottom of the eighth at Four Winds Field. South Bend trying to further ensure its two-run lead, 5-3 in the series opener between Quad Cities and the Cubs. Parker Harm, the new Bandits pitcher, the slinging sidearmer, fields a comebacker right off the bat. Jonathan Long sends one right back to number 24. He gloves and throws to first for the out. Harm with a little shimmy of the shoulders after that one. Wow, that kind of got everybody by surprise. Tough night for Long. 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts. An unfortunate 3-5 double play that was on a line drive. And now that one looked like he was going to have a base hit up the middle. Instead, he's retired on one toss. One away, base is empty for Casey Opitz. The switch-hitting catcher will take strike one. It's the fourth outing of the year for Harm. He's given up just one run in his three innings this year, with seven strikeouts. A one on its way. Slide piece right down the middle, a called strike two. Although he's got seven strikeouts in three innings, the whip for Harm is an even two. He's walked two batters in each of his last two outings. 0-2 pitch. Wave and a miss on a fastball. A dominant at-bat for Parker Harm. Third time Opitz has gone down on strikes. And there are two gone for Ed Howard. Well, Harm is a go-to short situation guy, if you will, for Quad Cities. He's, of course, terrific left on left, but he does a really good job in these quick-out situations as Ed Howard takes inside. Harm has now spent parts of three seasons with the River Bandits going back to 2022 in his first year in High A. 1-0. Grounder foul behind the first base coach's box. Howard 2-for-3 with a couple of singles in the ninth spot tonight. Harm struggled in 2022 in his Midwest League debut, a 6.23 ERA. Last year, a 5.21 ERA, but he got progressively stronger as the season went along. 1-1 slider a bit outside, 2-1. And then this year, Harm has not been used a ton. He's never worked more than an inning and a third in any of his first three appearances this year. But like I said, he's not really a multi-inning guy. 2-1. Slider in there for strike two. Of course, Harm is your classic soft-throwing, crafty lefty with a funky delivery. It's always great to have one of those guys in your bullpen. Howard waits. 2-2 pitch is lopped in the air, right field, going back. Dickey, it's going to get over his head and bang up against the wall. Howard is into second base with his third hit of the night. It is a two-out double. Just when you think these Cubs are going to go down easily, they have been able to string together multi-two-out production tonight. Of course, you have the two-run homer in the seventh inning, which is currently the difference in this 5-3 ball game. But then you can go all the way back to the first when the Cubs took the lead 1-0 on a two-out RBI triple from Yohendrick Pinyongo. Back to the top of the order for Brett Bateman, who you never like to give an extra opportunity to. Left on left, he'll take a fastball on the outer edge. Bateman nods his head in agreement with the call from David Sable. Multiple Cubs with three-hit performances. Howard, Pinyongo, and this man, Bateman, who's got two singles and an RBI triple in the seventh inning. A one. Behind the batter, to the screen. Up to third goes Howard on the wild pitch. And that was about as wild as it gets. A pitch from Harm way off the mark. No ill will, of course. That was just a situation of slippage. Reset from Harm. 1-1 slider, of course, misses outside. That's to be expected. Harm also nodding his head in agreement with David Sable. Nice to see these guys so supportive of the home plate umpire. You don't see that very often. Cubs up 5-3, runner at third. 2-1 slider is taken outside by Bateman. And it's 3-1. Rafael Morel waits on deck. He's, interestingly enough, been one of the quietest bats in the order for the Cubs tonight. They've got 5 runs on 12 hits, and he doesn't have any hits or any runs, and he's been one of their most productive hitters this season. 3-1. Called strike on the slow slider, and again, Bateman nods his head in agreement. So once again, the Bandits just one pitch away from closing out an inning, trying to keep the deficit at 2 before the top of the ninth. Harm's payoff. Outside, he walked him. Another trip on the base paths for Brett Bateman. He has just been such an issue against Quad Cities. It's, of course, just a 4-game sample size, but just feels like in every game he's played against Quad Cities, he's been out there on the base paths wreaking havoc. First and third, 2 outs for the aforementioned Morel. He'll swing through the first pitch slider, and he falls behind 0-1. For Bateman, if you go back to the weekend against Quad Cities, 3 walks, a hit, and an RBI on opening night, then a 3-for-5 night in game 2, 0-1. Bateman goes. The pitch is inside, no throw to second. Jensen bluffs the heave. And looks back, Howard at third base. Another stolen bag for the Cubs. That's their third of the game, but the first for somebody other than Pedro Ramirez. A base hit here for Morel would be huge. Cubs up by 2, 1-1. Tardy on the fastball. It's fouled over the netting on the first base side. And then Bateman in game 3 of that series went 0-for-3, but oh yeah, he walked twice. Just no matter what, he seems to be on the base paths against Quad Cities. He stands at second, Howard at third base. Arm sets, deals, slider, foul, back to the screen. Parker, along with the rest of the River Bandit staff, has just had to throw quite a few pitches tonight. Bandits have not pitched all that poorly, but they have given up 12 hits, which obviously has been very uncharacteristic for them to open up this year. 1-2. Another foul ball. Slider sent onto the concourse on the right side. This is the most hits allowed in a game for Quad Cities. Previous high, 11. A mark that their opposition had gotten to twice against them this year. The last time, 2 days ago against the Peoria Chiefs. Another 1-2 from Parker Harm. Fastball just off the plate outside. And it's 2-2. Brooks Conrad getting a friendly nod from David Sabol, the home plate umpire. Brooks just wanted to make sure he knew where it missed. 21st pitch of the inning for Parker Harm. 2-2. Just low, maybe inside. Not sure where that slider missed. Back-to-back, great two-strike pitches for Harm, but Morrell has got him dialed in. Anything in the zone, he's been able to send it foul. And everything out of the zone, he's seemingly been able to identify. Runners at second and third, two outs. The payoff pitch to Morrell. Swing and a miss. Harm gets the strikeout. He slows it down with a changeup and will strand two Cubs in scoring position. That will give Quad Cities a chance in the top of the ninth. Bandits down 5-3 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Full moon overhead at Four Winds Field. Last call for Quad Cities in the top of the ninth. They trail the Cubs 5-3. Bandits looking to avoid losing back-to-back games for the first time since April 10th. They'll have Carter Jensen, Brett Squires, and Cale Emshoff due up against Jack Patterson, who will remain out there for a six-out save. First pitch. Fastball at the bottom of the zone for a called strike. Parker Harm allowed a couple of guys into scoring position in the home half of the eighth inning, but posted a scoreless frame to keep the deficit at 2. 0-1 slider, a bit high, 1-1 on Jensen. Carter's got a three-hit night, as it's often been for him to start the year. He's been effective atop the order, 3-for-4 with a pair of singles and a triple, and now he'll take a slider in the dirt, 2-1. Patterson gave up a leadoff walk to Dustin Dickerson in his last inning, but got a man out on a fielder's choice and then had back-to-back strikeouts. 2-1. Slider finds the outside edge of the zone, a called strike two. And taking a look up at the lights, looks like the rain has once more started to fall. It had stopped around first pitch, but it's come back for these final innings. 2-2. Foul back to the screen. Jensen reaches out and slaps it aside. As I was mentioning earlier in the broadcast, we'll be back for game two of this six-game series tomorrow night. Another 7:05 Eastern first pitch. Ben Kuderna will be on the hill for Quad Cities. 2-2. Slider low and away, could not get him to chase. Ben Kuderna, the Midwest League Pitcher of the Week two series ago. Steven Zoback, the Midwest League Pitcher of the Week last week, will get the start on Thursday. Full count pitch. That's low, ball four. Carter Jensen reaches base for the fourth time tonight. And he continues to do his thing atop the order. He entered the game with an on-base percentage at .415. And he's done nothing but raise that tonight. Eighth walk for South Bend Cubs pitching. Brett Squires has been aboard twice. Neither time by way of walk. He's got a couple of singles. First pitch, low and inside. He played in the last game, or the last run of the game, for the River Bandits with an RBI single in the seventh inning. He played at Jensen to give Quad Cities a 3-2 lead at the time. 1-0 outside from Patterson, 2-0. The rain has picked up in intensity here at Four Winds Field, getting some of the fans out of the lower seating bowl and retreating back to the concourse. Catcher Casey Opitz is going to go out to the hill to meet with his reliever. Speaking of which, the Cubs are getting a new one warming up down the first baseline. Looks like Grayson Moore starting to get loose. Squires standing outside the box, adjusting his gloves, trying to wipe the rain away from the bat. And it's really starting to come down now. Left on left, Jensen over at first base. The pitch to Squires. Fastball, called strike, inner edge of the zone. Patterson at 29 pitches, just 12 have gone for a strike. Both guys out of the bullpen for the Cubs have thrown less than 50% strikes tonight. 2-1, that's high, 3-1. But even with their poor locations, Quad Cities has just not been able to muster enough offense tonight despite the seven hits. 3-1 to Squires. Fastball, called strike, upper inside corner, and it's a full count. Brett was ready to throw the bat aside and trot down to first. He represents the tying run for Quad Cities here in a rainy Four Winds Field. A look to first. Patterson's payoff. Up and away, ball four, another walk. Back-to-back walks in the top of the ninth for Quad Cities. And they've got the tying base runners aboard.
Now batting, the Bandits DH.
First and second, nobody out. And Cale Emschoff coming up to the plate. Cale, the South Bend Cubs killer at the end of last year, always a threat to send one over a wall. The pitch. Foul back, strike one. Boy, now the rain is really starting to come down. No thunder or lightning and really hardly any wind. Maybe just a bit of a breeze blowing out to right field, but there is quite a bit of water coming down now. As the ball, hold on one second. What just happened? Quad Cities is going to score a run. What on earth just happened? I think a live ball was just thrown out of play. And the Bandits just got a run. Brett Squires up to third base. Jensen has come all the way in to score. The rain making things even more confusing. It starts to pour down. I think a live baseball was thrown into the dugout. Nick Lovello arguing with plate umpire David Sable. So a live ball was thrown out of play by the Cubs. What is happening now? Both umpires are going to convene as respective managers are trying to get their piece in. This has become a wild situation. Ninth inning, the Bandits just scored a run, we believe, making it 5-4, tying run at third with no one out, and Cale Emschoff at the plate. And after a brief deliberation by the umpires, nothing has been signaled or nothing has happened. David Sable talking with the manager for the Cubs, Nick Lovello, saying this is what's going to happen. So all of a sudden, it's 5-4. The Bandits have the tying run at third. A new baseball going out to Patterson, who now has to deal with the man at third, the infield in, and the rain just pouring down. Emschoff ready to go. The pitch. Ground ball back up the middle. It's past Howard into center field. It's going to tie the game at five. That's the first ball in play this inning. And Quad Cities has tied it up. What a wild, wild final frame of this one. Maybe final frame. Squires comes in on the RBI single for Cale Emshoff. It's his third RBI of the year. And Quad Cities continues to lean on Emshoff against these South Bend Cubs. Rain just pouring now at Four Winds Field. We're still playing. Jackets have come on. Jerseys are soaked. And the jacket of Nick Lovello, the Cubs skipper, is sopping wet. Looks like somebody gave him a Gatorade bath. He's going out to the hill to talk with the battery in the infield and change pitchers in the top of the ninth. Quad Cities has tied the game up at five. They've scored two runs, and there are no outs. Jared Dickey at the plate when we come back on the River Bandits Baseball Network. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodmen Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodmen Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodmen Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Well, this game is instantly turned into the most bizarre contest of the year for Quad Cities. The Bandits came into the ninth inning trailing 5-3. Carter Jensen walked to lead off the inning. Then Brett Squires walked. And with Cale Emshoff at the plate, Jack Patterson, the Cubs pitcher, threw a live baseball out of play, which gave the Bandits two bases for each runner. Jensen scored, Squires moved up to third, and then Cale Emshoff tied it up with an RBI single. He stands at first base, there's nobody out, and Jared Dickey is batting against Grayson Moore. First pitch outside, ball one. This has been as strange of an inning as it could possibly be, and to make matters even weirder, the rain has almost suddenly stopped. 1-0 pitch, outside 2-0. That's the first thing I should have mentioned. All the chaos was going on, all while the heavens had opened and were being absolutely dumped on for about 5 or 10 minutes. Moore's 2-0 pitch. Fastball on the inner half, a called strike. 5-5 game in the top of the ninth inning. Dickey with three walks in the game. He's 0-for-1 officially. Emshoff, the go-ahead run at first. 2-1 from Moore. Slider was high. 3-1 count. It's the second outing of the year for Grayson. He was teammates with Quad City starter Hunter Owen at Vanderbilt, a 14th round pick by the Cubs in last year's draft. 3-1, swing and a miss. A healthy hack from Dickey, but he does not connect on the slider. Counts full. It's the second outing of the year for Moore. The right-hander appeared in a game for the Cubs on April 18th against Beloit. That's it. 3-2. Low and inside, ball four. Third walk of the inning for Quad Cities and the fourth of the ball game for Jared Dickey. We talked throughout the first part of this broadcast about how pitching, and in particular walks, have been an issue for South Bend, and now Quad Cities is going to go to a pinch runner. It's Justin Johnson, who is going to replace the DH, Cale Emshoff, at second base. We've seen Brooks Conrad make this move before, go with a speedy base runner, and Emshoff's spot as the designated hitter. It's an easy switch. You can just keep JJ in as the DH and not have to mess with your defense. So first and second, nobody out for Jack Pineda. He squares to bunt. The pitch is down. Bunted in front of the pitcher. It's gloved by Moore. His throw to first is in time for the out. But Johnson moves up to third base, and Dickey gets to second. That was a clutch bunt from Pineda. It wasn't terrific. It was more or less right back at Moore. But in that situation, you cannot risk going anywhere except first. So here's a big spot for Dustin Dickerson. Runners at second and third, one out. Game tied at five. Right on right. Moore's going to step off the back of the rubber with the pitch clock down to two. It'll reset. The Bandits have gotten a new man up in the bullpen. It's Brandon Johnson, who may find himself in a save situation in the next half inning. The pitch. Change up low, ball one. Of course, in this scenario, a walk would allow for a force out in any base and put the double play in order. So we'll see how picky he is with Dickerson. 1-0. Slider inside, 2-0. South Bend in this game has issued 10 walks. Dickerson being patient, he's already worked a pair this evening himself. 2-0, a big hack on a fastball, but he came up empty. It is 2-1. The most walks Quad Cities has had in the game, 10. Tonight marks the second time they've done that and the first time since April 12th at West Michigan. 2-1 fastball inside from Moore, and it's 3-1. On deck for Quad Cities, the left fielder Gene Ramirez. Davies Nadal waits behind him. Moore is paused at the belt, 3-1. Wave and a miss, another fastball gets past the QC shortstop, and it's a full count. Jack Patterson right now responsible for two runs and a full inning of work. Grayson Moore relieving him, trying to get out of this jam. 3-2, fouled over the screen, out of play. Count holds. What a situation for Moore. He's pitching in just his seventh career professional game, and he is in a not-so-enviable situation. Dickerson with his back against the wall, as is Morse. Another 3-2. Line drive, back up the middle, a base hit. It sneaks under the glove of Howard. In to score, Johnson. Dickey stops at third, and Dustin Dickerson comes through. 6-5, River Bandits. Quad Cities has scored three in the ninth. What a phenomenal at-bat for Dustin Dickerson. He's had a couple of clutch hits for Quad Cities to start this year, but with the infield in, this might have been his biggest.
Gene Ramirez.
Now a really important opportunity for Quad Cities. They lead by one. Men at the corners, one out. Gene Ramirez tried to take advantage even further as he thought about bunting at the first pitch, but he took it outside. Quad Cities has not overcome a multi-run deficit this season. They were down 5-3 in the top of the ninth. They scored a run without even putting a ball in play. Emshoff tied it up with the RBI single. And then after Jared Dickey was walked and Jack Pineda laid down the sacrifice, Dustin Dickerson came through with his sixth RBI of the season and probably his biggest. Bruce Billings, the pitching coach for the Cubs, completing a conversation on the hill with the infield and the battery. The rain has stopped. That's not to say the field is not wet, because it most certainly is. Players just look drenched right now. Conversation over. Gene ready to hit. First and third, one out. The pitch. Off for second goes Dickerson. It's bunted down by Ramirez and squirts towards second base. The runner is going to score from third, and there's no play anywhere. It's an RBI bunt single for Gene Ramirez, and Quad Cities now has a four-run inning in a 7-5 lead. Ramirez gets the bunt down right in between the pitcher and Long. It goes over to second base, where Howard was no longer at because he was covering first on the bunt. This has become quite the frame for QC's offense. So now Davies Nadal at the plate. First and second, one out. He'll take a fastball for strike one. Bandits have scored a run on a ball out of play. An RBI single from Kale Emshoff, an RBI single from Dustin Dickerson, and now an RBI infield single for Gene Ramirez. Nadal hacks away on the second pitch and comes up empty. Still just one out in this inning. The Bandits are still being out hit by the Cubs tonight, 12-10. Nadal, an RBI triple back in the second, which feels like ages ago. Now he swings through an 0-2 and comes up empty for strike three. He'll be wearing the golden sombrero tonight despite a two-run triple in the second inning. Second out of the inning, first strikeout for Grayson Moore. And let's see if the Bandits have any more of that two-out magic left. It's Carson Rockefeller to the plate for the sixth time tonight. First pitch. Fastball at the knees, a called strike one. Rockefeller, three strikeouts, a ground ball, and a lineout. If there's anyone due for a hit in the lineup right now, it's him. Moore looks back to second. The pitch. Fastball up, 1-1. You can close the book on Jack Patterson. He gives up three runs on a hit, three walks, and two strikeouts in one full inning. Rockefeller, an ugly swing through a 1-1 slider. He was out in front of it, and he falls behind 1-2. Carson is the ninth man to hit in the ninth inning for the River Bandits. They put up a four-run frame, their most productive offensive inning of the season. And they haven't done anything but walk and single. 1-2. Skied over the screen, out of play. Brandon Johnson continuing to get loose in Quad City's bullpen. Sure enough, if the score remains as is right now, a 7-5 Bandits lead, he will have a save opportunity in the bottom of the ninth. Moore's pitch. Popped him up, shallow left field, long run, Rojas, still going out, he can't get there, and it drops. In to score, Dickerson, Ramirez to third, and it's a five-run inning for the River Bandits. Make it 8-5. Pinyongo never got there from left. Rojas had too far to run, and it drops right in between them both. Dickerson gets a hold-on celebration in that third base dugout for his role in this comeback. And now Rockefeller gets a hit. Every single Bandit has reached base at least once tonight. Jensen's batting for the second time this inning. He'll take a slider up and away for ball one. First and third, two outs. Moore desperately trying to get out of this frame. He throws a fastball, and it's out and up to Jensen, 2-0. Carter, a couple of singles, a triple, and a walk. He's done everything for the Bandits tonight, per usual. 2-0, Rockefeller takes off for second. The throw to second, not in time. A stolen bag for Rocco, who gets in ahead of the tag from Rojas. Why not? Seventh bag for Rockefeller. Two men in scoring position for Jensen. 3-0. Fastball right down the middle. 3-1. Patterson and Moore have combined to throw 62 pitches in this inning. 3-1. Another walk. It's outside ball four. South Bend just cannot get out of this inning. And Quad Cities keeps the carousel turning.
First baseman, Brent Squires.
Boy, the Bandits on base percentage is going to get a 15 to 20 point boost in this game. The bases are now loaded for Brett Squires, who could really put the game away with a base hit, at least presumably. First pitch, that's high, ball one. Moore, now 30 pitches, 16 strikes. 1-0. That's too high, 2-0. This has been a tough night for these South Bend Cubs fans who were hanging on through the rain to hopefully see the game shut down in the ninth, and it's become anything but that sort of ending. 2-0, a huge hack from Squires. He comes up with nothing but air. It's 2-1. Now those that have stuck around are soaking wet, and South Bend trails 8-5. Moore's going to ask for time and tie his shoe. 5-run top of the ninth for Quad Cities. They're still being out-hit by the Cubs, 12-11, but they lead by 3. 2-1. Popped up. Foul over the third base side into the bleachers. So a 2-2 count now on Squires, who, like so many other River Bandits, walked earlier in this inning. He's got a 2-for-4 night. New baseball in hand for Moore. Trying to put an end to what's been a brutal inning for the Cubs. 2-2. Fouled off, back to the screen. That was a nice curveball. Squires able to get a piece. Closing in on a near 3-hour contest for the River Bandits. It's almost 10 o'clock p.m. We started at 7:05 here in the Eastern time zone. 2-2. Wave and a miss. Strike three. Squires chased high. And that finally ends the inning. 12 men to the plate for Quad Cities in the ninth. A 5-run frame gives them an 8-5 lead. Brandon Johnson coming on for the save. Quad Cities looking for its 10th win in 11 games. Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
An unexpected save spot for Quad Cities. After scoring five runs in the top of the ninth inning to erase a 5-3 deficit, it's 8-5 Quad Cities in front with Brandon Johnson trying to lock things down. It'll be the first save opportunity of the year for BJ, but he has pitched in some serious high-leverage situations this year and been phenomenal. Jefferson Rojas leads it off in the bottom of the ninth for the Cubs, and he'll take a fastball inside. Johnson has made five appearances for the Bandits, totaled 7 2/3 innings, and not allowed a run with 15 strikeouts. 1-0 fastball, also up and in, 2-0. He replaces Parker Harm, who threw a scoreless inning in the eighth, worked around a hit and a walk, and struck out two. The pitch. Again, up and inside. Johnson can't find that area. It's 3-0. Rojas has had a very good night for the Cubs. He's been good for the last week or so. Single, a walk, and a sac fly to his credit. 3-0 pitch. That's right down the middle. Johnson, 24 years old. He'll turn 25 in June. Hails from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, a ninth-round pick out of Ole Miss back in 2022. 3-1. Fastball again right down the middle. Three balls, two strikes. BJ ramping it up to 94, as he so often does. He loves that fastball, and he challenges guys to hit it on a very regular basis. Payoff pitch to Rojas. Fastball, see you later. Called strike three on the lower inside corner. Johnson comes all the way back from down 3-0, and he strikes out the number eight prospect in the Cubs system. Make it eight scoreless innings to start the season for Brandon Johnson. Now he gets Yohendrick Pinyongo, who is a double away from the cycle. He'll take high for ball one. He had a go-ahead RBI triple in the third, a single in the fifth, and a two-run homer in the seventh, which looked like it was going to be the difference maker. 1-0 fastball, low and inside, 2-0. Johnson's been unable to get ahead of these guys. Pinyongo now with a 10-game on-base streak, a stretch in which he's hitting around 400. 2-0. Outside, 3-0. I know Johnson was able to battle back from down 3-0 in the last at-bat, but I'm not sure this is a strategy you want to stick with. The pitch. Fastball down the middle. Called strike one. It's just been fastball, fastball, fastball for BJ. And until somebody makes him pay for throwing it, he's going to stick with it. 3-1. Fastball right down the middle. Pinyongo sends it into the air towards the Bandits' bullpen. Nadal chases over there, but he can't get there. And it one-hops its way into the seats down the line. So once again, Johnson has just challenged a Cubs hitter with two hard ones down the middle. See if he changes it up or if he sticks with the old number one. Five, make that 8-5 Quad Cities in the bottom of the ninth inning. 3-2. Another foul out of play. If the Bandits hold on to win this, it'll be their largest comeback victory of the season. They are five runs in the top of the ninth, the most they've scored in a single frame this year. And they're 11 hits, also a season high. 3-2. That's high and away, ball four. He walked him. So Pinyongo will head down to first base. This game not over yet. It's a game between the Bandits and the Cubs. That game never over. If anything, over the last 3 years, as a Royals affiliate, has taught you anything about these two teams. These games go long, and they are marathons. So now here's Felix Stevens, the slugging DH. Right on right, first pitch, outside, 1-0. Stevens, a powerful bat. He has five hits this season, including his seventh inning single. And three of those five hits have gone for extra bases, including two homers. Now Carter Jensen heads out along with the majority of the infield to talk with BJ to try to settle him down. BJ, a big-time leader on this team. Of course, the closer on an Ole Miss squad that won a College World Series a couple of years ago. He has got one of the best attitudes you'll find in the clubhouse. Trying to lead his team to a victory here in the ninth. 1-0, up and in. Stevens leans out of the way, and the helmet comes off in the process. Both teams struggling to throw strikes here at the end of the game. Cubs have issued 11 walks. The Bandits have issued just 5, but they've had to throw a ton of pitches. 2-0 on its way. Right down the middle with a fastball, 2-1. Johnson's almost been effectively wild up to this point. Penyango, of course, not going over at first base. Base runner's too precious right now. 2-1. Swing and a miss on a fastball, and Johnson slipped on the hill. He went down to a knee and had to brace himself with his throwing hand to stop from toppling over. And as I mentioned, there was a whole lot of rain earlier that has really slickened up that hill. Lots of clay visible underneath the red dirt. Johnson cleans off his cleats and is back on the slab. 2-2. Check swing. Did he go? No, he didn't. They say Stevens held up on a pitch that was on the upper inside corner, or I guess just above it. Boy, oh boy, that was close. Showing the replay up here in the booth. Let's see for ourselves. Ooh, man. Cubs may have gone away with one there. Double play could end the game for Quad Cities. They've already turned 3 tonight. Johnson sets. 3-2. Pop foul over the screen. Tying run still in the on-deck circle for the Cubs. It's Pedro Ramirez. Johnson's going to close this thing out. He has to go right through the heart of the Cubs' order. Ready to work again. Another payoff. See you later! Called strike 3 on the slider. He went fastball, fastball, fastball for about 12 straight pitches and then just dips the slider in there, 3-2. Stevens had no idea what to do with it. So 2 down, runner at first. Here's Pedro Ramirez. Bandits 1 out away. The pitch. Fastball, top of the zone, a called strike 1. Pedro with a single, a walk, and a couple of stolen bases today. Cubs number 16 prospect trying to pass the torch along. 0-1, Penyango breaks for second, and it's fouled out of play. 0-2. Of course, Quad Cities was going to be more than happy to give Penyango second base. Would have been defensive indifference had he reached. But now the Cubs are down to their last strike, and the Bandits are trying to put away a win here in the series opener. The former Ole Miss man with the 0-2. Way too high. Couldn't get him to chase. Officially a 3-plus hour game tonight. 10:07 in the Eastern time zone. Johnson's 1-2. Wave and a miss. He got him on a slider. And Quad Cities completes the comeback. 8-5. The Bandits win at Four Winds Field. They score 5 runs in the top of the ninth inning, and Brandon Johnson slams the door with 3 strikeouts for his first save of the year. A complete team effort tonight, and Quad Cities is able to hold on in the final frame. They put it together tonight. Not their best contest by any means, but they grind one out against the Cubs as they've had to do for now several years. One more time, the Bandits win on the road. They beat the Cubs in game 1 of a 12-game home road trip, 8-5. Post-game show next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Quad Cities gets its first signature comeback win of the season. They score five runs in the top of the ninth to come back from down 5-2 to beat the Cubs in their series opener 8-5 on a rainy night at Four Winds Field. Welcome into the River Bandits postgame show, everybody. Kyle Kirchvoll with you to wrap up what was a crazy night at the ballpark. By no means was it the sharpest or cleanest baseball game you'll ever see, but it's these games in April that if you can find a way to win, it pays huge dividends down the stretch. Quad Cities, 8-5 victors tonight. Here's how the line score looked. The Bandits score their 8 runs on 11 hits. They commit one error and go 6-for-13 with runners in scoring position. They strand 13 men on base. Gives you an idea how many Quad Cities runners were out there this evening. But those 6 hits with runners in scoring position, a season high for Quad Cities. For the Cubs, 5 runs, 12 hits, 1 error, 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position, and they strand 10. The winning pitcher is Parker Harm, who pitched a scoreless 8th inning. He improves to 1-0, working around 1 hit and 1 walk with 2 strikeouts to complete his frame. The losing pitcher was Jack Patterson. He gave up 3 of the 5 runs the Bandits scored in the ninth. He blows a save and falls to 0-1, allowing his 3 runs in 1 inning on 1 hit, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Brandon Johnson puts together another scoreless outing. He has now made 6 straight scoreless relief appearances for the Bandits. That's 8 2/3 with 18 strikeouts. He has been one of the best relief pitchers in not only the Midwest League, but in high A to start 2024. He works around the 1 walk to Yohendrick Pinyongo and gets strikeouts of Stevens and Ramirez to slam the door in the ninth. Final time of the ballgame, 3 hours and 2 minutes. That is the second longest game of the season for Quad Cities. 1,229 sticking it out through a rainy, chilly night here in South Bend, Indiana. With the win, Quad Cities is now 12-4 on the season. They are 5-2 on the road and have now won 10 games in their last 11. For South Bend, they fall to 4-12. They are 2-5 here at home, and they lose after a victory last Sunday against the Beloit Skycarp. Let's give you one more look at the Midwest League scoreboard and the Kansas City Royals farm system. There's one game still going on in the MWL, and it's over in Grand Rapids. The West Michigan Whitecaps currently trail, or rather, the Whitecaps lead the Lake County Captains 3-1 in the bottom of the 6th inning at LMCU Ballpark. As we mentioned earlier, the Loons and Tin Caps had their game rained out in Fort Wayne. They'll play 2 7-inning games tomorrow and make it up with a doubleheader. the Cedar Rapids Colonels hold off the Skycarp. The Colonels took a 5-0 lead into the seventh, but Beloit scored 4 runs in that inning to trim the lead to 1. But Colonels able to hold on for a 5-4 win, their 7th victory of the season. The Peoria Chiefs improved to 7-9. They beat the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers 6-2 at Dozier Park. And in Lansing, the Dayton Dragons get a win on the road. They're now 7-9 after beating the now 7-9 Lansing Lugnuts 6-3 at Jackson Field over in Michigan's capital. Still action happening in the Kansas City Royals farm system. Game in Tulsa between the Naturals and Drillers in the top of the 8th inning. Northwest Arkansas with a 4-run top of the 8th to take a 9-5 lead. As we talked about earlier, the Columbia Fireflies beat Augusta 8-0 for a shutout win. And in Omaha, the Storm Chasers beat the Indianapolis Indians 7-4, meaning if Northwest Arkansas can hold on to their lead tonight, all 4 full-season affiliates could get wins in the Kansas City Royals minor league system. Always cool when that happens. We'll be back in action with the Bandits looking for hopefully another win tomorrow night. Another 7:05 first pitch here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Again, that's 7:05 Eastern time. We'll have your pregame show ready at 6:55. Ben Kuderna, the right-hander, and a one-week removed Midwest League pitcher of the week. He'll get the start 1-1 with a 1.23 ERA entering the contest. For the South Bend Cubs, Will Sanders, the right-hander, will make his first start of the season. That'll wrap up our broadcast tonight from South Bend. The rain has stopped, and that will make my walk to the bus a little bit better. And, of course, the Bandits, they'll be walking high tonight. They beat the South Bend Cubs with a comeback-style win, 8-5, to open up the series on the right foot. Until tomorrow night, I wish you a wonderful rest of your Tuesday evening, and we'll see you for Game 2 of this 6-game series tomorrow night. Same time, same place on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Until then, so long and good night from South Bend.